Take a copy of the Word of the Lord and turn to the letter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. As we've been going through 1 John, we know that what the Lord through John is communicating to the church is that we would be assured of our salvation in Christ. As the Gospel of John was for, that we would have faith in the Gospel and then have eternal life here, we know it's for our assurance that we will have eternal life. So 1 John chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 24. This is the Word of the Lord. "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before Him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." And that is the Word of the Lord. And beloved, as we think about this assurance, we even see those little hints of assurance that He wants us to have that assurance in verse 19. "And even by the Spirit given us, and the love for our neighbor, our love and abiding in Him, our doing righteousness." He wants you, if you have those different parts, maybe not perfectly, but if you have those different parts within you and you're acting on them, then He's saying you can have assurance of your salvation. And He starts out this chapter, He calls us to look upon the love of the Father that He has granted to us through adoption as sons and daughters of God. And because we are God's children, because we are His, the world can't understand us. They hate us, in fact. That the world, that they are of the world, the lust of the flesh that we saw last week, belongs to them. But God's children, they don't have those things. They're not to have those things. And John, he's working to comfort us. The Lord, through John, is working to comfort us. And he tells us that when Christ appears, we will see him. And we will be like him. And verse 3 says what that means. We will be like him. We will be pure. We'll be holy. And now because we will be holy, we'll be pure in Christ, John then argues, quit sinning. Quit sinning now. Why? Because Jesus first appeared to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. And therefore, if when we see him, we too will be holy and pure without sin, then let us put on righteousness and holiness now. We don't wait for that until we get there, because if we wait till then we don't really love him. And we don't really abide in him. And so let's abide in him now. Because no one who abides in him sins willfully and without hatred and sorrow of that sin. And so John begging the question, do you practice righteousness in Christ? If you practice righteousness in Christ, by his strength, by his spirit in you, then you most certainly are God's child. And if he says, if you are practicing righteousness, you are in Christ. If not, then you're lawless and you do not abide in him and you're in the devil. And that kind of contrast between you're in Christ and in the devil. You're of the devil. He uses the illustration of Genesis 4 of Cain and Abel. The righteous man loves his neighbor. The righteous one abides in Christ. But Cain didn't love his neighbor. He didn't love his brother. He murdered him. And why? John says, because he worshipped wrong. It says that it was because his deeds were evil. We go back to Genesis 4. What was his deeds? He worshipped wrong. Because he worshipped wrong, he was not abiding in God. He was committing evil, just not in his bad worship. But Abel worshipped rightly. Abel worshipped in faith with his heart. What John 4 says, he worshipped in spirit and truth. He was righteous in worship, Abel was. And so we have a warning about our worship even now, how we worship now. We should do so in faith. Because when we worship wrong, then there is not love for our neighbor. Even now, as we worship, we should be conscious of wanting to worship in spirit and in truth so we can love not just God, but we can love our neighbors. You think back to Ephesians and all those different commands there about our worship, that we are to be singing to one another, making melody in our heart to one another, submitting to one another, all those things, that has to do with worship. And then he talks about how we should love Christ and abide in him, because the one who loves their neighbor loves Christ. And if we know we have eternal life in Christ, who Christ laid down his life for the sheep, he laid down his life for us, if we truly love the brethren, if we truly love Christ, then we will be willing to lay down our own lives for the brethren. And that means perhaps sacrificing your physical life. That doesn't necessarily mean that, but it could mean that. It means perhaps sacrificing your possessions, your goods, your money, your time for the sake of your brethren. You even see there, verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, doesn't help him, then you do not love God and abide in him. And so verse 18 summarizes all of this. Let us not love with word or with tongue, or just with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. It should be both and. Love, it should be our words. It should be truth that comes through our words, but in our beliefs as well, but also in our deeds, in our loving each other, in our caring for the brethren, caring for even those in the world, like Galatians says. And now, how do we have our hearts assured by the Lord of our salvation? He says, and whatever your heart condemns you, especially in having absolutely no love for the brethren. If your heart is condemning you of not having love for the brethren, He says that you're condemned even more because God knows your heart even more than you. But he says if you're not condemned, if your heart does not condemn you of having a love of and for the brethren, or at least that you want to love and you have the desire to love, and maybe it's not perfectly now, but in Christ it is. You have that love for the brethren, then you can have confidence before God. And you can also, you have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit and you know you have the Spirit, you can have assurance before God. If you love your neighbor, you can have assurance before God. If you're righteous and you do righteous deeds, maybe not perfectly, but in Christ, and you can have assurance of your salvation. We can have confidence before His throne, even as we worship now, because we keep His commandments. You see, verses 23 and 24 says, "This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." Let's pray. Father, we do praise You because You have shown us so many different secondary things that show us that we can have assurance of salvation, that we are saved. Well, we know the primary means of having that assurance is coming in faith to You, believing the promises, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came and died for our sins, and He rose the third day, and now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You and we are worshiping Him now. Or we need to believe in Him. And another primary assurance is that Spirit within us. And yet we have some of these secondary assurances, the fruit that is produced from our lives, the righteousness, the loving our neighbor. We know that sometimes we don't do those things perfectly. And yet we pray now and we ask, pleading with You, our High Priest, plead for us before the Father. Please make us love the brethren. Please make us and cause us and move us to love our neighbors as ourselves. To do that second greatest commandment. Lord, we pray that You would give us faith to believe Your word. Give us faith to believe of what You've made us. And that You would bring us to eternal life. That You would bring us to see Jesus for who He is. And that we would be like Him. And that is our great longing today, is to be like Him and to see Him. And in that we pray that He would come sooner, that You would take us home at the right time. Because we long to see Him. And we long to see You. And worship in Your presence. And just what it would be like just to be at the gate of that court, of that room, the throne room. And yet we'll be right there on at the right hand. We'll be on the throne, reigning with Christ, because we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Well, we do pray these things in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.